Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Curator Podcast, Season 2, Episode 16. An interview with Tom Weeks from Nutwolves. I just want to preface this interview by saying that Tom and I were going to go to a pub, but the pub nearby where the band were playing was closed, it turned out, forever. So I decided that rather than trying to find somewhere else, that I would just turn the recorder on and we would go for a walk around Glasgow. So what you hear is basically just that, me and Tom walking around Glasgow. So you get a bit of a feel for the background sound, a feel for the kind of vibe. And yeah, I think it turned out really, really well. I always wanted to do it, but I had a little bit of trepidation about doing so. And it turns out that I shouldn't have worried too much because it actually turned out a lot better than I even thought it would. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this interview. Tom, we're walking down the street.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever done this. I've always wanted to do it, though.
It's the first time I've done it, too. Bear in mind that you have to pay attention to where we're walking, because I don't know where we are. You've got to do two things at once.
It could get really interesting really quickly.
Yes.
So, welcome to Glasgow on a really sunny day. It'd be really good if we don't get hit by cars.
I don't think we should get hit by cars at all.
So, I've listened to the new album quite extensively.
Really?
Yeah, cool. Well, of course I have. That's why I'm talking to you.
I suppose it's part of what you're doing, isn't it?
I'd be remiss of me for me to not have listened to it.
That's true.
It's a bit different, man.
I suppose so, yeah.
Not in a bad way. A lot more Weezer vibes.
There's that one song especially, isn't there, that's very Weezer.
Yeah. Do you guys try to get away from the sort of skate punk thing?
No, nothing like that. It's just just doing a different record each record, I think.
Yeah.
And we tend to have, each time we put a record out, the same amount of people will say they've completely changed what they've done, and then a whole equal number of people say, oh, it's exactly the same as the last record. So I actually don't know, firstly, whether if anyone has a brain at all. Actually, I'm sure they don't, because I don't have one.
Is anyone listening?
Yeah. Well, music's pretty subjective, isn't it? That's the record we wanted to write. Well, I wanted to write especially, and so that's what we did.
The last EP was a hardcore EP, so you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So do whatever you like each time, I think. That's the key.
Yeah. It seems to be working out well so far.
Thanks.
That is a darker record, though.
It is a bit darker, yeah.
What brought that on?
Misery. genuine ball crushing misery. I went into a bit of a pit of despair, and now I look back on it quite necessarily as well, because there's a lot to be to despair about. It doesn't mean you have to feel like it, though. Sometimes you can't help it, and then wrote all the songs feeling like that instead of just waiting until later on and then writing reflective songs. Just wrote grumpy songs.
So was that different? That must have been like a different process then, writing in the moment of despair.
Yeah, because there's a lot of you have to go through all those emotions afterwards, where you feel embarrassed and guilty about the lyrics that you've written, because you're oh, did I feel like that? That's horrible. That's new.
Are you in a better place now?
Yeah.
So sure. What is it like singing the songs now that you're in a better place?
I've given them away now. That's cool. I was really worried about it until we put the record out, and now they're not my songs anymore. It's fine.
They're
somebody else's songs. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's gone now. It's just I no longer have a part in this. It's just that it's the fans' songs now.
Not the fans, but
you have fans.
I don't know. I can disconnect my own myself from them, because they're ambiguous enough lyrically so that they could be about something else. So, and now they are about something else, because they're about whatever anyone else wants to think they're about.
Oh, that's a really philosophical way of looking at it.
Yeah.
We'll walk down this way and try and not get hit by a bus.
Okay. I'm liking this, because now we're getting to a busy area. No one's going to know what it looks like, but it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's going, what are those guys doing? Is that a bomb?
Is that a bomb?
It could be a bomb. It could be a... That'd be a really weird bomb, wouldn't it? It's more like you'd definitely get arrested for that, like, no doubt.
I know, we smoked quite a lot of weed in Glasgow in our time.
But not outdoors, and not a bong outdoors.
Not a bong, no, not a bong.
That would not go over well. Oh, it's green, let's go. So this is definitely one of the strangest things I've ever done, but I'm really liking the vibe.
Good, I hope it comes out good.
It's sounding good in my head so far. So
cool, that's rad.
Let's not go to the pub, let's just walk.
Let's keep walking. Yeah, I think we should just do it like this.
And maybe we'll pass some revelers, maybe somebody will recognise you and we can get like a wee bit of a...
Isn't that what, what's that guy, the super high me guy did?
Yeah.
Him on...
Doug Benson.
When he did the Comic-Con one.
Yeah.
And they were trying, like, he was doing a walk-along and they were trying to, like, meet the fans and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, he's vaguely famous for his...
I'm not famous.
A short, bald man. That's about it, really.
You're definitely famouser than me, though.
Maybe.
Well, definitely.
I reckon we could do a Facebook poll and find out for sure.
I would get totally crushed. It would just destroy my spirit. A little curdle.
Is it important to you to be famous?
No. I'm just trying to be funny.
You're making me laugh.
I'm even high.
Wow.
So you guys have been on the road for a little while now in Europe and stuff. I really hate asking this question, but it seems like I should ask it because it looks like on Instagram you've been having a lot of fun.
Looks like we've been having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yes, we have been having a lot of fun. But tour is fun, isn't it? It's
It's
a real adventure, and it's weird, and and you kind of forget about the real world, which is quite nice. So we have had a lot of fun.
Let's walk this way.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know why we stopped there. I think we were getting...
I liked it. I felt like that was...
a deep moment.
Designated stop-off point. Yeah.
What have you been up to today, then?
Today? Oh, God. Very, very little. We were... last night we stayed at Punk Rock Dad's house, Jed, in Newcastle. And he puts up with his son, Ross, and his wife. They put on lots and lots of... they put up lots of bands pretty much every day. And they put us up last night. So
that's incredible.
Last night, very, very nice. So last night we had some beer, and then this morning sat in their garden, drank a cup of tea, had some toast with homemade jam, and then we drove to Glasgow. That's pretty much the whole day.
I've got a thing about jam. Okay. I passed my driving test yesterday for my fifth attempt.
Really?
Yeah.
You passed it?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations, man.
My girlfriend was really nice, and she there was a bake sale in her work, so she bought me a bunch of cakes, and I was like, oh, that's amazing, thank you for the cakes. So I'm having a cake today, and it's got this really lovely sort of butter icing on it. It's just a little sponge cake. And then as I'm halfway through it, there's this fucking raspberry interloper, this little bit of jam, and jam makes me feel queasy because it's just got that really weird
texture.
You don't
like jam?
No, man. No, and it ruined my day.
That ruined your heart.
This little bit of jam in this fucking kid. I was like, man, you fucked it.
Is that on purpose then? Do you think you're getting a...
No, I don't think she knew.
It's like, well done for passing your test, but five times, come on, here's a bit of jam.
Here's the joy, and then here's a crushing reality. Yeah. Not everything goes your way all the time.
Yes.
But speaking of everything going your way all the time...
Oh, God.
That's a bit of a weird segue, I suppose.
How does it feel to be a white man in 2017?
Uh-oh. Did we just almost get hit by a car there?
Almost get hit by a car.
Holy shit, this is good.
I think that was karma for taking on gender politics.
Getting a bit dicey here.
Podcast,
You guys have been touring for a while. You've been a band for a while. Is it going as you'd hoped when you started?
Is the band going as we'd hoped?
Yeah, just generally. I
genuinely didn't know that we were going to be a band now.
Uh-huh.
Don't think that far ahead very often. But I guess the fact that we are a band means that's cool. That's cool, isn't it? Nearly 6 years now.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, we're not young. We're not a new band anymore. We're not like up and comers. No, we just are coming to play.
I'm glad you said to play there, because I was going in a dark, really fucking dark place.
No,
I wouldn't beep it out. I'd just play can. Tom has just said something really strange.
I don't say stuff like that.
I don't edit. I did that interview where the kamikaze girl was there, and like Bob came into the car. I was like, you need to move your car. He started the car up. I had to drive away from pedestrian.
In the podcast?
Dudes, I'm leaving it in.
You should.
It's like I'm going to leave all this in.
It's like a little slice of your life.
Yes. Still getting really strange looks. Maybe I should just
doorstop people.
To stop people on the street and like, do you want to be on first dates? Something like that.
We want to hear what your voice sounds like. This is why I haven't got a camera.
That's the most important thing.
Okay, let's stop for a second.
Okay.
Let's get deep.
Let's get deeper.
Would you call yourself... You're in a ship present as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and you get your own record label kind of thing, Sold Out Records.
That's my brother's.
It's your brother's? Mm. See? Yeah. It's the Week's name,
yeah.
God damn it. You Weeksies are everywhere. Would you call yourself a creative person or a creative person?
Would I call myself a creative person? Yeah, absolutely. If there's one thing that I'm sure of about myself, that I'm creative.
So that you define yourself like, is that then? Not that it's a problem, I'm just asking, because a lot of people kind of don't, you know.
Do I define myself as a creative person?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's like a connotation to define yourself as on?
No.
Because I'm interested.
There's podcasts about creativity just itself, and I always find it really interesting that people who are really creative maybe don't necessarily see themselves as being creative, it's just something that they do.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I think about it all the time because that's, I don't know, that's not very reflective to, you not really have much self-awareness if you're not realising that you're, that when you're creating things that you're being creative. Maybe that's just not understanding the word very well.
Perhaps. Okay, let's reframe it. Are you a productive person when it comes to writing songs?
I go in spells. Like sometimes I'm like, and I write loads and loads and loads and loads and loads, and I won't write anything for months and months, and I have to find a different outlet for my creativity. So I just do some drawings or something else.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not all constantly productive.
Well, I know that you did the artwork for the album.
Mm.
Is that the only other thing you do? Do you do other creative things?
Do I do other? Yeah, I record things a lot. I do a lot of recording.
Like
do a
this.
Lot of a lot, like this, this kind of stuff. Yeah,
you recorded.
I do lots of and I make lots of pictures. But yeah, most of my time is made up being in two bands.
Yeah,
like doing and doing my own acoustic thing. So yeah, I guess I'm always producing something in some form. But
where does it come from?
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Does anyone know? Well, I have muses. Like sometimes, like when I'm around certain people, I write lots and lots of stuff. So I think that's one of the things. What else? Where does it come from? Comes from having an unquiet mind, I think.
That's exactly how I feel as well.
Yeah.
Like that's what it comes from me too. I feel dead restless all the time.
Mm. So yeah, it's a way to settle your mind down.
Yeah. It feels like that little moment of zen. Mm. You know, like when you're on stage and it's like meditating, like your mind is completely blank. It's all just instinctive and reactionary. But I'm a really rubbish songwriter. I think about it too much. So I'll overthink it and I end up just not doing it. Does that make sense?
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
But when it comes to something like writing or talking to you, for example, it just comes really naturally. But you must get that with songs then. Do you find that when you are being productive to come quite easily?
When I'm having a productive phase, then they just fart out. Like they're not all good, obviously. Like, and maybe not any of them are good, but they just do come out like.
We've been signed to record label and stuff, and you tour and stuff, so they must be quite good.
Some people like them, yeah. But most people don't get to hear most of the songs that I write.
That's a good thing, though. At least you've got good quality control.
Yeah, I think actually Charlie and Max have got good quality control. I would just dump everything on the internet immediately.
So do you ever get attached to things and like, oh, I really fucking love that, and you're like, no, that's rubbish.
I do get a little bit hurt when I put out a bunch of songs and I'm like, this is my favourite one, and people think it's their favourite one. It's like, oh, you haven't got it, you just don't get it, man. But that's a weird narcissistic thing, I think.
Nothing wrong with that. As long as you're not a narcissist, you're not Donald Trump, so you'll be fine.
I'm not Donald Trump. Yeah, I haven't got the power to apply my narcissism in a dangerous way.
Or the girth.
Or the girth. No, I have nowhere near the girth.
He's a big man.
He's a big fellow, yeah.
Fuck that guy. I totally threw me off track there, what I was going to say. This happens all the time. It's just because I'm getting old, man. I'm 31 and I'm fucking losing my mind
already.
Oh,
dude, yeah. I'm going to hit my 30 this year. I'm very
younger
excited.
Than me?
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
Right, bye.
Come back!
I just want to quickly jump in here and say, if you can take a wee second to subscribe to this podcast, I would really appreciate that. If you subscribe, then more people will see the podcast, and the more people that see it, the more guests I can get on. So it benefits everyone, really. Anyway, I've taken up enough of your time. Let's go back to this interview with Tom.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. $45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm not a wolf's.
What's your favourite song on the record then? Does it change?
It has changed.
I hate asking this question, but you seem like the kind of person to be quite receptive to that question.
I'd enjoy answering it.
Yeah.
Talking to Your Ghost is my favourite track on that record. On the record. The Weezer one.
Yeah.
Why? Why? They're my favourite lyrics. I think they're like they paint the picture that I wanted to paint the most vividly. And I love Weezer. So it was like a nice exercise in being Weezer for 2 minutes, 20 seconds, whatever it was. Lots of reasons. I think it's my favourite melody on a record as well. I really like the chorus. I think it's catchy. I'm reviewing my own record.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm amazed. I kind of don't really do this kind of thing, but I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying the chat. So I thought, fuck it, I've not even looked at my questions yet. It's just coming off the top of my head. It's so unprofessional. So let's go. One of the questions that I do have, which is in my head, which I've been thinking about this whole lot of time, is, and I like to ask it because there's part of that, like I said, it's about creativity and passion.
Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the songwriters that you look up to? Because we've mentioned Weezer, which is Rivers Cuomo, obviously.
Yeah, Rivers Cuomo is great.
And you guys seem to be quite into skate punk, so like Lagwag, any kind of stuff. I can hear that.
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily mean people that influence you, but people who use songs you can listen to and go, fuck, like, they make me want to write music.
Make me want to write music. So yeah, obviously things like NoFX did when I was a kid. It changes, it shifts. They all blend, right?
Yeah,
they all blend into your thing.
Yeah, totally.
But I will always go back to listen to something Right Home About by Get Up Kids.
Oh,
it was like one of those records that I can never get tired of. That's so difficult. Applied to Narwhals, we are definitely all about everything that happened during the Punkorama era.
Man after Mournheart.
Yeah, and then just over time, it's all like things have lumped on top of it with like all that Latterman-esque thing that happened a few years ago, and then like the 80s hardcore revival and stuff. There's just lots of things just come into our faces and have turned Narwhals into Narwhals, whatever we are now, Mach 6.
Mach 6. it's like the...
Mach 6, not Mach 6.
You can play it Mach 6, though.
Can you say Mach 6? All right.
There must be a Mach 6, surely. There's a Mach 5, a 4.
That's like speed, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. You can play it Mach 6.
Oh, right. So, yeah. So, Narwhals Mach 6.
Yeah.
That was a product of those kind of bands.
Yeah. So, Narwhals Mach 6.
Narwhals Mach 6. The 6th. Record.
This version of Narwhals
this version.
Is more Get Up Kidsy and kind of.
I guess there is a bit of that in there.
Yeah.
There always is.
Yeah.
But this record, I think, as well, like hearing Cloud Nuffin's Attack of Memory made me go, what? That's still punk rock, but something else as well. And it's still like all those things that I really love about songwriting and applied in a different package. I need to think about this again and then thought about a different way of writing. The same song.
that's what we all do. I mean, Rivers has been writing the same song
for
longer than either of us have been alive. So.
That's true, and he's killing it as well.
Yeah, he's doing quite well. Did you like the new album?
The new Weezer album?
The White Records.
I usually like one or two songs off each Weezer record after Pinkerton.
Are you that guy?
Yeah, I am that guy.
You're that guy.
But I like that, like, bits and bobs off every single record from then on, because he writes great tunes.
Yeah,
it all gets a bit slick for me after a certain.
I like that.
You like the slickness?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a production line quality to it now. I think that's why it works with other songwriters, you know.
Like, yeah,
I don't think the best song on the album is the one he wrote himself, which is "Summer Lady and Drunk Dory," I think.
Okay.
Because that was the Song Exploder podcast, and he explains like how he wrote it and all that, and It's like big Excel spreadsheet just full of like things that he's heard people say, which then become lyrics and all that.
Oh wow, that's really cool.
And he talks about how like when he does a guitar solo, he actually hums it out over the song and then plays it and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
And I was like, man, see, when I heard that, I was like, this guy's got to figure it out. He knows how to do this, and
yeah,
I should just quit making music because there's no fucking point in trying anymore.
No, of course not. That's awful. Can't just leave it to the big boys.
Okay, that's true. Got a good story about Weezer, but I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
I can't repeat it on this podcast. don't worry, it's not relating to me personally. So, what's happening next then? Now the album's out.
The rest of this tour, and then a little quiet period, and then more touring.
Yeah. I mean, because you work full time as well, don't you?
I work full time. Yeah.
So, how does that work?
I just do a lot of juggling. Like I say, I'm. Yeah. Just do a lot of stuff.
Does that make it hard? I worry about that.
Only when you're knackered. You do that. You must do a lot of stuff. You must be a man about town.
I worry about that. Like juggling, it's good for the brain sometimes, and it's sometimes.
I think that's why I had a bad time a couple of years ago. Is I was too tired.
Yeah, stress.
Yeah,
I've had that too.
I couldn't deal with it anymore. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just. So I just did those, just smoked too much weed and got depressed and wrote songs. Yeah, it was really silly.
And it turned out outsiders, so you can't really complain.
Was that?
It turned out outsiders, so you can't really
complain. Got a whole record out. This is what I think, and this is why I think music is so, so very important, because some people do have different states of being. Like, some people will go through their whole life and feel completely the same, like, or at least very small changes in their mood and attitudes and things. And other people have times where they feel like they're really, really sad, and then other times where they can go on with shit. But if you can do music and you can do it when you're feeling shit, then you always have had something that you've created that is positive from your shit, your period of being a shit or feeling shit and being self. You know, the worst thing about those times is that you do get quite selfish and self-involved, and it's like a weird thing to kind of deal with each time, isn't it?
That's interesting, because I had a lot of when I was listening to the record, that reminded me. Well, I had like a kind of. What the fuck is going on? Sorry, I could just hear a voice in my head, which wasn't mine. So like last year, I had quite a big relapse from anxiety, and I could hear bits of that in the records. You know what I mean? And that always draws me to it first, like the lyrics, the feel of it. You know what I mean? Always draws me to something before the actual music, which is probably different.
I like that.
Quite a lot of people.
Lots of people listen to music differently, though, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Some people won't skim past the drums. They'll literally—that's all they'll hear is drum kit, and that's cool too. Like, what? It's just a different way of experiencing
Absolutely.
It, isn't it?
And it's good that you say that you people change and reflect on it in different ways. I mean, it's obviously really good to be. For me, I think it'd be really rewarding to be in a band, which feels like we're going to make this kind of record now. We're not going to play the same stuff as before. You know, but a lot of bands get beholden to that, though. And you guys haven't.
No. Do whatever we like, really. Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah.
Narwhals,
we'll try our best.
Seven.
Mark 7, yeah, what'll that be?
I don't know, maybe something like a ska band.
Oh, well, actually, did talk about that for a while. Me and Max were going to do something, but...
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not time yet.
It's not time?
It's not time. I don't think we're the guys that are going to be able to bring the ska resurgence.
Really?
Nah, I don't think it's going to be us. Someone needs to, though.
Yeah, because a lot of the ska bands have stopped being bands, or they've changed, like Flatliners, they stopped being a ska band and stuff.
And it would be inappropriate for them to be a ska band now.
Definitely.
Yeah. Their new record's great.
Really like cool. I really like it too, man. Yeah. I actually spoke to Chris. That interview is going to come out next week.
Okay.
But that means that next week from this day, it will be out by the time this episode comes out. It'll have already been out for
but
a while.
But not according to this recording.
Yeah. So I just had to clarify that. Well, what is he fucking talking about? And he was saying, like, it's really interesting that you mentioned, like, the whole kind of songwriting process there, because he was saying, like, I said to him, does it sound different to you, this new record? He's like, no, it sounds like the same band, because I'm inside it.
That's like, it. That's the truth. Yeah. That's really true. That's interesting, isn't it?
It sounds like the same thing to me. And I was like, but obviously somebody said that to you, because you've just reacted with that answer. And he's like, well, all our friends and stuff were saying, holy shit, that sounds a bit different. And I was like, I've never really thought about that, because you spend so much time inside the process. It feels like it's obviously still you. You changed a person and things change with you.
Yeah, you just naturally changed and grown or shrunk moved sideways. I don't know, something. Things happen.
Can you imagine being Iron Maiden? You're just doing that all over.
But they go in thinking, oh, we've written this whole new thing, and they come out and everyone goes, that's the same voice. You've done the same thing again. Come on, guys.
same vibes, man.
Tried and tested.
You're going to become Iron Maiden, though?
Can we become Iron Maiden?
Please don't.
We would be the most unsuccessful Iron Maiden, wouldn't we? That Iron Maiden in 100 cap rooms, fucking hell.
Can you imagine that?
I'd love to see Iron Maiden in 100 cap rooms.
You wouldn't fit on stage.
They wouldn't be able to fit. All the amps would be in the way, wouldn't
they? Kit would fit on the stage. That's it. You have to get like Bruce Dickinson, escaped in from outside.
They could have six. They could play in 600 cap venues, like one person in each room, and Bluetooth the sound together. Yeah. That's how it works.
We should make that happen.
That's how Bluetooth works.
We should make that happen.
I'll make that happen. That's all right.
I know that you know Steve, so just phone him up.
If you're willing to, if you're willing to put the collateral, front the cash.
Yeah, their guarantee must be insane.
Yeah, a mil, a cool mil. He's got to fuel up his jet to get there, hasn't he?
That must cost a mil of fuel.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Like, they're not a loss. They don't make any money anymore.
We haven't made money in years.
You're so fucking broke. Why is this happening? So, I don't know. Do you want to keep walking or do you want to keep talking? Or
what do you fancy doing?
I'm at your behest. You're the one that's
what
got time?
I don't know. What time is it now? Oh, no, we finished so early, didn't we? I wouldn't mind getting back for doors.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 minutes.
Yeah. 10 minutes. Let's walk back. We'll make this the end as we walk back, as we close out the interview by walking back to the venue.
That's nice, isn't it?
It is nice.
It's a nice way to end it. And you've shown me around a bit of Glasgow as well, which is lovely.
When you're on tour, you don't really get to see places.
No, you don't often. Yeah. Weirdly. Unless you really make a big effort to walk around the block by the venue, the block, the streets.
The block.
I'm not American, am I?
Are you?
No, absolutely not.
Doesn't sound American.
At the show in Leeds the other day, a woman came up to me and she said, she started talking to me generally, and then she was like, Tom, on the records, you sound like a real gangster, like you're really urban, but in real life, you're quite posh, aren't you? What? Both of those things are wrong, but thank you, I think. I'm not sure.
How do you react to something like that?
How do you react to a stranger telling you things that apparently they know about you?
I think you're posh. Yeah. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah, awesome. I thought you were a gangster, and now I think you're posh. Because when you sing in a gangster voice.
No rapping.
You know me. I don't even know what a gangster voice is. There was a Cornish gangster.
I don't know. Is there a there must be Cornish gangsters. There's gangsters everywhere.
There is a bike gang called the Aquila Gang. Oh. My brother has a good... Actually, can I tell you my brother's Aquila Gang story?
Yes, go on.
So my brother moved back down to Cornwall about a year and a half ago. Uh-huh. And we've all lived in Brighton for quite a number of years now. And he was like, yeah, Tom, so I was going to this local nightclub called Club 2K. So that's the name of the nightclub. Yeah. Going in, and I was hanging out like normal. But for some reason, there was 30 or 40 bike gang members just in our local nightclub. This is the place we used to go when we were 18. And that's weird, isn't it? And he's like, yeah, the weirdest thing is about it is I kept going around saying to all the people that were at the nightclub, what's going on with this Aquila gang? And they just go, oh yeah, they're just here. Like no one had even noticed that a bike gang had taken over Penzance.
They've just arrived.
Where are we going?
This way.
Yeah, they just arrived and they've made a big clubhouse in just outside of Penzance. Just this weird criminal bike gang. No one even bats an eyelid at all. Yeah. Nothing changes there for 20 years, and a bike gang moves in, and no one even notices.
Yeah, I guess this is happening now. Nothing I can do really.
Yeah, that's not weird.
That's an interesting story. One of the reasons why NoFX, apparently, the urban myth about why NoFX can't come back to Glasgow is because they played at a festival in Glasgow Green, which is in the centre.
Yeah.
In 2002 or 2001.
Right.
And Fat Mike either. The story goes he either offended someone in a biker gang or said something about them on stage. They're called the Blue Angels.
Oh.
And apparently that's why the story goes he will never come back because of that, apparently, because he'll get a kicking, basically.
Shit!
That's supposed to be the story. I don't know if it's true or not.
It's a little bit terrifying, though, isn't it?
But I played a show in Edinburgh a couple of weeks ago and they were just kicking, they were just standing in the corner, in a corner in Edinburgh, these three guys, pure chilling out, and I'm like, fuck.
Oh.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
It's Sons of Anarchy style shit. What?
Fucking hell. These gangs, man, they're crazy.
You should start your own gang. We've got your own gang, fine.
We got a crew, yeah.
Yeah,
you
got a crew.
It's not really a gang. We wouldn't like. We only get up to minor mischief, not full on crimes. Yeah. If we're dealing drugs, it's only going to be
for recreational purposes.
Yeah, it's going to be Lucozade, paracetamol.
Yes. Living the dream. But Tom, it's been a total pleasure to walk with you in Glasgow.
No, that was really fun, Mark. What? Actually, had a really nice time. You've got a good interviewing patter.
Thank you. Yeah, it just
natural.
Comes out.
Yeah,
I'm a legend.
Yeah, you're a legend.
No, not. I will be one day, though. Is there anything else you want to say or anything you want to ask me before we finish?
No, thank you, man. I look forward to seeing you in the Hall of Legends.
I'll be next to you.
Next to me? Do I get to come in?
You're going to be there. You seem like a gangster, but you're also posh. You're going to be there.
That's it. I'm on a fine line at the moment.
He's got that beanie on, so you look a bit gangstery as well. So
I think I look like a robber, but not a gangster.
But robbers are gangsters.
Not all of them. I reckon if I'm a robber, I'm not like more like those old-fashioned Beano-style robbers than anything else, like swag bag and.
You should totally do that at Halloween. Just a swag bag.
That'd be crazy. Actually, I wouldn't have to do anything else over to my costume.
Just have a bag that says swag. What's that in the swag bag? Just swag.
That's where I keep my swag.
That's where I keep my hats. My robber hats. Tom, it's been a total pleasure.
Yeah,
thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Me and Tom Weeks take a saunter around Glasgow, and it turned out pretty decently, I think. I had a really fun time chatting to Tom. He was up for a laugh, which really helped this interview along, I think. He's super pleasant company. He's got a cracking sense of humour, and he was just an all-round awesome dude to be around. Narwhals totally killed it at that show as well later on that night, and their new album is cracking, so you should definitely go check it out. I didn't get a chance to say it in the podcast, but I did say it to Tom after we stopped recording. But I think that the first Narwhals album, you know, the self-titled one, is definitely my favourite hardcore record or skate punk record or even just punk rock record in general from the UK. The past 10 years, I listen to it quite a lot, quite regularly. It's had a huge influence on me lately, and hopefully he remembers me saying that. And if it doesn't, then hopefully he's listening to this and doesn't feel like I'm kind of sucking up. I'm not, I just genuinely think it's great. So yeah, check out all of their stuff. They've released a whole bunch of stuff over the course of their career so far, and it's all worth checking out. But if you're listening to this podcast, for some reason, I think you already know that. So I'm kind of maybe just preaching to the choir here. Who knows? If you haven't heard them, please do so, because they're brilliant. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. If you could give me a wee second to drop me a rating and review on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. I know I ask quite a lot of you, but that is really good for my iTunes ranking, and this is a super competitive marketplace. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of fucking excellent podcasts out there, but if I can get up those charts, that's going to be really good for me, and good for you too, and good for guests. So yeah, but yeah, thanks very much. Until next time, bye bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.